Hi everyone, I'm Avi, and I want to welcome you to the first episode of the Project Do It Yourself podcast. This episode is sponsored by Project Do It Yourself. We're bringing together DIYers into a community to help each other get projects done. Connect with us at projectdoityourself.com, where you can subscribe to hear about upcoming workshops and find links to our Instagram and Discord channel. All right, let's get started. I'm here with Paolo.
Hello.
Paolo, I worked with Paolo
Sorry.
for several years, and Paolo has built a computer before.
The first one or the most current one?
Well, actually, I think that's going to be a great way to start this off. Let's start off with what's the first computer you built, and why did you build it?
The first computer I built, wow, that's a good question. The first one I built was after I had already been working at Price Waterhouse for a while. And then I left, and I was going to get married, and I had a Gateway computer, the ones with the, at least the box had like it looked like a cow, but I'd been really interested in computers for a really long time. First computer, Commodore 64, and yeah, like I just wanted to try to build one. I'd already had computers and I put parts in it already, like upgraded video cards. Back then you had to put in a sound card because it wasn't built into the motherboard. At Price Waterhouse, I used to build systems where people would do their QA testing on them. So I put all those computers, not the parts, but assemble the computer, set up a testing center, that kind of thing. And I just wanted to make the jump, back then, there was still a place called CompUSA and other
I remember that.
places. Yeah, I don't think it's still around anymore,
No.
but yeah, I used to get parts there. So yeah, I just decided I want to try to build one, and I went around Virginia Beach and found places that sold motherboards and pieces, and I got some pieces and I built a computer. And back then it was really interesting. Because you didn't necessarily get everything, like the floating point processor or whatever was like a special version of the chip. There were like so many models of things. Now it's, you just get like it's so much easier. I just want an i7 or an i9 or an i5. But it yeah, it was a little bit different back then. I had a 486 DX266 on the Gateway. And so this would, yeah, it must have been the early Pentium models was my first computer. So whatever, we'll have to look it up. Like whatever was going on in 1996. And I'll tell you this though, it didn't last long. Once I built that first one and played around with it, it wasn't even a year, I believe, before I built my second one. And I know that there was this guy who used to be in the military. And if he's out there hearing this, I believe his name was Izzy. And some friends of mine from high school who stayed in Virginia Beach told me about about his place. And we used to go over there and get parts, and he'd be building computers out there. So yeah, ended up building multiple computers, obviously not for myself, but for other people who wanted a computer. Because back then you could spend money and actually sometimes build it better, like cheaper than you could if you bought it OEM at Gateway or Dell. Not so much now. Now it's really, if you're an enthusiast, you're going to probably be paying a little bit more, but you have the flexibility of picking what you really want to or not. But yeah, back then, everybody who wanted one, it was like word of mouth, like, oh yeah, my brother, he built a computer. So like I built one for my brother's friend and, for other family members, like, yeah. It
So,
was addicting, you
yeah,
couldn't
so
stop.
it's interesting you mentioned that, there's different people that helped it get you into it, and it's through word of mouth. What, who was the person, or was there one person who like really made the difference and leveled you up from, sort of being interested to like really feeling good with your computer skills?
Wow, I it's been so long ago. I'd have to say I don't know if there was any one person. I was really more inspired by, you know, what people had done at Apple to build a computer, or was it Michael Dell? And I forgot the guy for Gateway, just the idea that, hey, they built some computers and then they started building a lot of them, you know, and got the process going. And at that point in time, you know, I'd already worked at Price Waterhouse, and I was really more along the lines of, hey, you know, this is something interesting. Maybe this is something, you know, I could do as well. So it was really more of like just building skills, like more trying to level up myself. Mm-hmm. That got me to build more things. So, mm-hmm. But definitely being inspired by, you know, the leaders of that day who did get successful building a computer or designing and making one.
So in terms of like, you know, leveling up and getting better, it sounds like, you know, you've done this many times since the first one back in the 90s. What are some lessons that you've learned over the years?
In the beginning, yeah. First of all, just because somebody manufactures a part doesn't mean that part is manufactured well, especially computer parts. I've had like early on, and that's lesson one, but it goes very closely with lesson two, is which probably should be lesson one because it's a safety thing. This stuff involves power, and you could get shocked or worse, you know, or lose a lot of money because you fry a part.
Right.
But yeah, that, you know, early on, I think things are manufactured much better today, but there would be, say, computer cases, which really weren't all that great looking or anything back in the day. And the cases might come with the, you know, the power, you know, the cables inside the wires hooked up incorrectly. You might try to turn something on and then the breaker in your house flips and it's like, what just happened? And you check everything and, you know, you got to debug it down, and then you might find out like the case is wired wrong. Like, it's such a great market now. If people want to build a computer, it's so much more accessible and so much more safe. As long as you don't try to open up a power supply and switch the fan out to like a more silent one, which you could totally get shocked on that guy because of the capacitors.
So after building a computer, which you've done a couple of times, like what are some hobbies that you think that you've gotten into because you built a computer?
I mean, if you fast forward like 15 years or 20 years, I'd have to say it's watching other people build stuff on YouTube, if that's even considered a hobby.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's very interesting to just... I mean, I'm not even building the computer. It's just like entertaining to watch people build these things, and which, you know, because you can't buy every case, you can't buy every motherboard, but these guys are great. They're building it. They got great photography and videography. They put time into the editing of it. The lighting is really good, and they even benchmark everything. It's like really amazing. You don't even have to buy the computer. You just watch these guys do it, and then you can make a really good selection. Mm-hmm. Stuff. So I don't know if that's a hobby, but I do find myself watching these videos just because the people doing these videos are very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I'd say one thing I have gotten into the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, you know, since I had 3 kids, I wanted to get them into it. And even back then when they were like, I guess my daughter 6 years ago was like 6 years old, but we along with a couple of their friends from martial arts, I helped them build a computer together, but they actually did the screwdrivers and all that. Like, we picked out the parts, but they got to assemble it. And I think it was really rewarding for them. I mean, they totally are like not console gaming kids. They're like PC gamers. So, I expect them to be on PC Master Race, I'm sure, on Reddit. but yeah, they, you know, they're interested. They look up video cards and understand about, like, you know, ray tracing and just all these other really great things. And I think it all came from just being able to put the pieces together in that first computer.
Can you tell us about your current build?
So I've been very interested in the Ryzen processors. I mean, in terms of return on investment, or just, you know, comparing it to Intel, you can get some really great prices on things that have either, you know, the GPU in the chip. Like, you know, I got a late model 3200G, which was on sale on Amazon for like $69 or $79. And that thing is incredible. You could play like Minecraft or World of Tanks or whatever it is you want, these 3D games. And it's like you have a GPU and that thing costs, you know, less than $100. So that's amazing. But I'm currently doing one. I don't have a Threadripper, but I have a 12 core, which is pretty nice in terms of, you know, being a developer, trying to just do a bunch of things at once on the computer. Just, you know, things are just very snappy when you've got like servers running and, you know, some virtual machines or whatever. It's just, there is no lag when you want to switch around and do stuff. And honestly, I, you know, if it was Hackintoshable, it would be great to see that ever, because I really develop more, you know, on the Mac platform, or OS X, I should say.
Yeah.
But yeah, on Windows, you know, with Windows Subsystem for Linux and, you know, the Windows Terminal, which is great now. It's finally, you know, getting on par with like terminals you might get on OS X or under Linux. It's, you know, I'm potentially could be doing more development on Windows these days, being a Unix guy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this will be the last question, unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, my last question was already the last question. I'm actually done.
Okay. What kind of things do you enjoy doing that are most similar to building a computer?
So what I really like about the computer is when you finish it and you put the operating system on it, and then you try some stuff out that you used to use on your old computer and just see how much faster it is. So seeing the, you know, how much your system is leveled up, I guess that's like one of the big things. So what is like that? Gosh, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that compares to it. Maybe that's why it's so unique and I like it. But the, you know, to get it built, there's definitely the same stuff that you have to do for work or school, which is, you know, planning. It's not like you've got all this stuff sitting around the house. You gotta get your parts. And if you don't have a place like Micro Center nearby, you've got to order them online. So there's that, you know, you got to buy something and you got to check it out, make sure it's compatible. For all the advances that they have today, there's still some, you know, you could buy things that aren't the right supporting chipset for whatever current processor you have, right? You buy an old motherboard, but you got a newer processor, you got to make sure you upgrade it. So there's definitely some planning in there. And things like PC Part Picker, they help out with that.
There's either planning or you find a fantastic deal and you just buy the part. And you figure out how to use it.
That's the other thing. You make it work, which, you know, what that ends up meaning is you end up making two computers because you never find anything compatible and it's cheaper to just buy the new part. So, yep. Yeah. That's why you have to, you know, have a friend or you know, a young relative, like a niece or nephew to give the computer to.
Sounds fun. Well, Paulo, thank you so much for joining. This has been a pleasure talking to you on this podcast.
Likewise.